I'm expecting God to do a great thing. Amen. They need to know Jesus Christ. Knowing prophecy is good stuff. I'm all for it. But they need to know Jesus. Amen. The whole gist of our effort is that people will know Jesus. Praise the Lord. I know you're standing, but I kind of feel like we need to have one more conversation with our people that are willing to help. Willing to help on that day. Ushers, instead of two, we're going to need four ushers for both services. So if we could make preparation, if you need help with that, I'd like to plan for four ushers, both Saturday and Sunday. And how about after church on Sunday? Is there anything going on after church on Sunday? I don't think so. We meet for a few minutes in the fellowship hall. All those, because, listen, here's my plan. If you consider Apostolic Lighthouse your normal church home, then Saturday and Sunday, the week of our prophecy conference, on those two services, don't park on the parking lot. You, our folks, find somewhere else to park. You got it? Park in the grass. Park over in the city hall. Park in the backyard. Use your imagination. Don't park on the pavement. Because we'd like our guests to have a place to park. Because if our folks park in the parking lot, guess what? There's two parking places left. And we're going to need more than two parking places. Anybody believe that? I believe that. I believe we're going to need our folks to inconvenience ourselves so that our guests can have a place to park. Amen. I'm not doing it to bend you out of shape or anything. You know, just don't get mad at me. I still love you. Praise the Lord. Help us out. Is everything clean up there? Jared, where you're at, is there anything on the bench? Okay. The upstairs needs to have clean benches entirely. I mean, not a piece of paper, nothing on any of those benches. And if you see a scrap of something on the floor, and you're one of our folks, stop and pick it up. I mean, lots of hands makes work easy, right? You see a dirty spot, tell you what, stop and clean that spot. I don't know how can I explain it. If everybody sees something to do, and you do it, praise God, hallelujah, a whole bunch will get done. Praise the Lord. And there's 100 little things. Keep your eyes open, because stuff that you normally don't notice, people on their first visit to our church, they're going to notice it. Oh, there's cobwebs on that fire extinguisher. Oh, the toilet paper's almost all gone. Or any of 100 other little, silly little insignificant things that most of us wouldn't even think about matters. Are you with me? Everything. You may think it's insignificant, oh, that doesn't matter. Well, to me, it matters. This is the house of God, and this is God's people. And we're trying to convey a message to people that don't know God. So everything matters. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, that's my commercial break. Let's go to the scriptures. Luke chapter 10 is where I'd like to turn your attention. I know you're standing still. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42, and then I'll let you be seated. I've got more scripture to read, but I'll carry on from there. Luke chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him unto her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was encumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. My topic tonight is a really good topic for Wednesday night. Jesus loving folks. It's proper priorities. Amen. Proper priorities. Lord, I love you. I thank you. We're asking, Lord, even right now, that in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, that your blessing, God, would be upon this service. Lord, upon this people. Lord, and all that is about us. Help me, Lord, put words in my mouth and quicken my mind. And Lord, as we discuss these things tonight, I pray the Holy Ghost would just have your way here today in me and in all of us. And each thing that happens tonight, I pray your will take place. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Proper priorities. Amen. Well, I've got some more scripture I'd like to read. Let me continue. John chapter 11, picking up at verse number 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out and followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. In my mind, I can see her broken and disappointed and frustrated, and I can see that she needs Jesus. A lot of people need Jesus. Sometimes, or all the time, I need Jesus, but sometimes people really need Jesus. Jumping down a few verses, still John 11, picking up 10 verses later at verse 43. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. You know the story. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Great miracle of miracles. The dead is raised. The brother Lazarus is alive. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. You know what? There's people of every different kind, if you will. We're going to get a whole bunch of people of different kinds even to come to our church. Amen. Above all else, I pray they find Jesus. Amen. Very much perhaps God will do a miracle in their life. Very much perhaps God will speak to them. Very much they may get what they came for. Amen. But I pray they find Jesus. John, again, I'm going to read chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. What a joyous occasion. Here Lazarus, who was dead, is sitting at the table with Jesus, and they're about to eat. Then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Can you get the picture? A joyous occasion. Dinner with Jesus. Lazarus, the risen brother, is there. He's sitting at the table. And then Mary pours out that ointment. You get the picture. The whole house was filled with the aroma of that precious ointment. You see, the priority, my lesson tonight is on priorities. The priority of a Christian. I'm going to use these portions of Scripture to speak from. Priority of Christian service is being able to decide what is needful and doing it. Does that make sense? In our Christian walk, I pray that the Holy Ghost, I pray that the Holy Ghost that is in each of us would quicken us to understand what is important and what is not. It's a big deal. There's a big difference. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Oh, it's so true. I look back at all the wonderful things that God has done in my life, at the wonderful blessings, and I consider this lesson that I was preparing last night. Many of those things, the blessings that have taken place in my life, the events in my family, the events on my job, the events in our community, the events in the churches that I've been involved with, this just the whole gamut of my life has been blessed because of some priorities that I placed in my life. God will bless your life. when you put right priorities in it. Some people get their priorities messed up. You know, they put the wrong thing first and the right thing later, and they don't do what they should do, and they do what they shouldn't do, and you get the idea. Priorities are it's an important part of our Christian walk, having right priorities. Many people have, let me say, inverted priorities. Oh, well, I need to, whatever, you put the sentence behind it. You know, it's our flesh. It's our carnal nature. It's the nature of man. It's the human nature for self-preservation, for self-priority. But the kingdom of God is not like that. The kingdom of God is different than that. I mean, you could live in the world and put yourself first. But in the kingdom of God, it's different. For anyone to be successful in living for God, he must define and establish what the proper priorities in your life are. What's important in your life? If we're a Christian, if we believe in Jesus Christ, if we are living for Him, if we choose to live a life for Jesus Christ, then our priorities should be different than they were before I lived that life. My priorities changed when I came to God. My priorities are different because I've come to God. Priority means first. The kingdom of God is meant to be first in our lives. God has to have a very, very special place. I like to look at it. You know, there's a big triangle. And there's, you know, stuff in my family and in my work life. And there's this, all kinds of things are in my life. But above all those other things is Jesus Christ. He's right at the very top. He's at the pinnacle. He's at the most important place. There's nothing else above Him. There is nothing above God. God is at the top. And then when I put God first in my life, God makes me a better husband. God makes me a better employee on my job. God blesses me to be a better man. God blesses me to be a better husband and a grandpa. God blesses me in every aspect of my life. And He'll do that for you too. Amen. But you got to have a priority. The Bible is so very important to us. It's the Word of God. It instructs us on how to live, how to be saved, and how to please God. It's all in there. The Bible is very important. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There's no comparison. There's nothing that is more valuable than your soul. Nothing. There should never be any confusion over the prominent place that spiritual things should have in our lives. If I truly am a Christian, If I truly am living my life for Jesus Christ, well, then I live differently. I choose different things. I want to do things that please God. I choose to live my life. Nobody makes me come to church. I come to church because I want to please God. And that was long before I had a microphone in my hand. It's been a lot of years. In fact, I was very content, very much satisfied with sitting in the first few rows and worshiping God with all my heart, praising the Lord with fervor and with my strength, shouting praises unto the Lord. I wanted to do those things. Amen. The problem is not deciding whether to choose spiritual things over worldly things. I'm not talking about, you know, going to the drugstore or the liquor store or going to the marijuana store or whatever. I'm not talking about open and outright sin, okay? This story, these verses that I read, it's not talking about outright sin. It was talking about life. It was talking about things that just happen in life. We got to have priorities even in our Christian life. The problem wasn't about worldly things. Martha was not having a problem with the world. She wasn't out there sinning, per se. She was just overly involved with necessary non-essentials. I wanted to try to say it nicely, okay? Yeah, people needed, things had to be done in the house and things had to happen and she was making it happen and she was doing what she thought was necessary. But in the larger scope, during those moments when Jesus was in the house, taking care of the dishes was not a priority. Those dishes can rot in the sink. Come to where Jesus is. We gotta think about our priorities. With Jesus in the house, He, the presence of God, and Jesus takes precedent over everything else going on. I want to pause right there because that's an important point. When the preacher is preaching, and you know what, I've been preaching before in park services when the drunks were walking by and heckling you. You know what? I just keep right on preaching. The baby could be crying, you know, on the fourth row, and everybody's looking at the baby. Is, you know, all 60 heads in the house, and 49 of them are pointed at the baby. Hello? Trying to give you a message from God. Ignore the baby. That's our human nature. That poor baby. Ignore the baby and listen to the preaching. I just stepped on somebody's toe real hard. You know, I'll give you some other examples. Things are going on. Moms and dads have kids they sometimes have to deal with, and kids can be unruly. And you know what? You can ignore a misbehaving kid and pay attention to what God is saying through the preacher. Non-essentials. It's not important that you see what that mom is going to do to her kid that's yelling. It's none of your business. Let that mom and that kid... You know what? Come on, it's Wednesday night, and here we are, right? We're us. This is my family right here. I'm trying to help us. I'm trying to help you live for God. I'm trying to help me preach the word. We got some very special services coming up. Very special things are going to be happening. I just heard that soon after the prophecy conference, Brother Rima Duncan has agreed to come and do just a little bit later, another couple more months, and he's going to come and do a revival for us. So just as soon as we get done with this event, guess what? We're going to have another event, and we're going to be promoting the next thing. Amen. Got Brother Fred Dibble. He's a dynamite, Jesus name, old school apostolic preacher. And I got him coming. He's going to come do a Sunday for us. But I'm excited about what God is doing. But we got to have priorities. You know, if we aren't careful, we become so involved in the duties of day-to-day life. Every one of us lives a busy life. Many of us have to go to work, and then we come home, and then you got things at home you got to do, and you know, you have responsibilities, and you know, there's things that need to be taken care of in life. I'm not talking about out there sinning. I'm just talking about living. And those duties that happen every day, they can interfere with our prayer life. They can interfere with your Bible reading. Lord forbid, it could interfere with your coming to church. Now, I know life has necessities and things need to be done. But do you have to do it on church night? How much of a priority was it that it had to be done between 7 and 9 o'clock on Wednesday? Life priorities. You will make the things of God a priority in your life, or the things of God will not be a priority in your life. If I could do it for you, I'd just turn the switch on. And God would be important all the time. But you know what? I can't turn that switch on for you. You have the control of that dial. You get to decide what's necessary and when. In our just daily living. Martha's priority was cares of life. That doesn't sound so bad, does it? She was taking care of the things that needed to be done. I have sympathy for her. She was doing what she thought needed to be done, and she was doing it. Overly busy in secular things. Now, it is very possible that our lives... Now, I'm not talking about going out there sinning. I'm not talking about just blatantly doing stuff that's just outright wrong. I'm not talking about, you know, worldly, ungodly sin. I'm talking about living life. Overly busy, secular things. Luke chapter 10, verse number 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. That's how this verse starts out. I'm going to go back to it in a little while, but let me pause right there. Cumbered means to draw away. Being over-occupied about a thing. She was so busy in the preparations of the house. Martha loved the Lord. Let me say that. Martha loved the Lord. But she was just so occupied with her secular responsibilities that she, how can I say this kindly, neglected. Maybe by mistake. Maybe unknowingly. You know, it is possible that you never even realized what you were doing. Maybe it's possible that people have really good intentions and, you know, they were just doing what they thought needs to be done, and they could see something that needed to be done in their own lives and they were doing it. But with a spiritual mind, what are the priorities? She neglected her worship responsibilities. My former pastor, Brother Hall, I love him dearly. He's gone on to be with the Lord, but he was a very, very special man to me. And he would encourage me to love God and magnify Him and worship, you know. And I took all that, I took that preaching to the very center of my heart. It became who I am. I became a worshiper by choice. I wanted, I desired to. I know that I always felt better. Sometimes, you know, you have a long day, you work a physical job in a shipyard, you get home, you eat, you clean up, you get your clothes on, you hurry up, get the kids in the car, and you get yourself to church, and you rush in the door, and here I am, I made it. Now it's time to put all that aside, because now it's time to worship the Lord. And then later on, Brother Hall asked me to do other things, and you know, I got to come up and do, I think I was taking up the offering, I think, or giving announcements, or different services doing different things. But I ended up on one of the side chairs over on the platform waiting for my turn to do my little piece in the service. But man, I can't stop worshiping. I'm worshiping the Lord when, you know, other stuff is going on. I just cannot stop worshiping. There's something within me that wants to worship the Lord. You know, one of the best things of the priorities that you can place in your life is worshiping Jesus. Don't be afraid of what other people say. You're not here to show other people anyhow. You're not worshiping God for that other person anyhow. Some people like it and some people don't. But you know what? I'm worshiping under the Lord Jesus Christ. He is worthy. Praise the Lord. Worship God. It's critical. Hold on a second. We must make special effort to keep everything in its proper order of importance. Priorities. Nothing is more important than loving and honoring Jesus Christ. Remember, he's the top. He's the peak. He's the highest thing in my life. Now, it's true that there is a critical spirit that comes sometimes, often I'll say, to those who are not involved in her work. She gets a critical spirit because her sister's not helping her. If we're not careful, you'll become critical of other people because they're not helping you. Because they're not doing what you think is important. Let's all, everybody, keep in mind, Jesus is at the top. And all of us are serving Him first. Okay, Jesus is the most important thing in each of our lives. That's the priority. Luke 10, verse 40, or you read it just a little while ago, but moving on. Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Jesus, tell her to get out here and do what she's supposed to be doing. Her mind, it's clear. She needs to help me. But in Jesus' mind, our carnality doesn't think like God. Our carnality can't even see what's going on in the Spirit. That's the danger. It is very possible that people that want to live for God don't even see what the problem is. They think they're doing the right thing. They think they're doing what's necessary. They think they're living life like they should. They think they're living like a Christian. Imbalance between spiritual and secular concerns tends to create criticism. It's just human nature. It's not just you. It's her and him and them and us and me and you. It's our human nature. It happens. When a person is overly concerned with material needs of life, he will often feel that he is doing more than his fair share and that others need to step up and help. They need to help me. They need to be doing what I'm doing. That mindset is fine if you're carnal. Because that's what the carnal mind is going to tell us. I need help. And these other people need to help me. It's really a critical spirit. And it's not what God thinks. Mary was not saying to Jesus, why is not Martha here at your feet? You see, it was Martha who was worried about Mary not sharing the responsibilities of the duties of the home. It was the one with the carnal thought process that was criticizing the spiritual happenings taking place with Jesus. Let's be careful that we don't criticize what's going on in the Spirit. There's going to be a whole lot of things going on in the Spirit right here in our church. And I'd like to guard against that, the mindset of carnal criticism that could very well take place. In fact, it would certainly take place if we don't watch for it. Criticism is a disease. It destroys the victim. And the person giving the criticism is the victim. Criticism develops into bitterness. Well, nobody helped me. You get a bent out of shape spirit. You feel bad. You feel neglected. And bitterness destroys. You could backslide over having a critical spirit, over having bitterness in your life. That could cause you to lose out with the most important thing in your life, Jesus. Don't let criticism move you away from God. The scriptures reveal that when a person murmurs against the church or God's minister, the preacher, the evangelist, that person is really not just murmuring against that representative of God. He's murmuring, she's murmuring, whoever that is murmuring against God Himself. Whoa. That's deep right there. That's deep right there. I have scripture for this. Exodus chapter 16. We begin to read at verses 2 and 3 and jump down to 7 to 9. 2 and 3, Exodus 16. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Okay, you get the picture. They didn't have any food. They didn't have any water. They're out in the desert. There's a million people. What are we doing out here? Okay, a whole bunch of people are not happy. But God has a plan. The man of God is leading them. The man of God is obeying the voice of God. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and we did eat bread to the full, and ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. That's pretty serious murmuring. Man, they were talking bad against Moses. Jumping down verse number 7 and 8 and 9. 3 verses. And in the morning, when ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that He heareth your murmurings against the Lord. You know, they were talking bad against Moses, right? Here, the reply is they are murmuring against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against Him. And what are we? Your murmurings are against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spoke unto Aaron, saying unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for He hath heard your murmurings. The Lord said that Israel's murmurings against Moses and Aaron, they were against God Himself. He took it very personal. Wow. Be careful what you're complaining about. There, and I'm going to give a warning right here. I know there's a whole bunch of people that don't understand Bible prophecy. And maybe the first time when the preacher is going to tell you what God has told him to say, and I trust that God has already spoken to him on what this people needs to hear. Amen. And when all that takes place, don't be murmuring against God. Amen. Hear the word. John chapter 12, verse number 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment. Or wait a minute, I'm back up. Mary has got a priority. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's worshiping him. Right? She's listening intently. Nothing. Her sister's calling. Come and help me, come and help me, come and help me. She didn't even listen to that. Sitting right there, just looking right at him. She's right there, front row. Right there. Whatever he says, she's listening. Whatever's going on, she, oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like that sometimes. Yeah. The preacher's preaching. Yeah. God's going to do it. Yeah, that's me. God's going to do it in my life. Yeah. I'm soaking it in. Soak in what God is doing. Get yourself in the presence of the Lord as close as you can. Get yourself as close to God as you can get. Get as much of God as you're able to get. You got to have the want to. But what if your priority is, oh, I got to go do the dishes? You're going to miss out on what God is doing, what God is saying. You're going to miss out on the moving of the Holy Ghost. Prepare ourselves by setting right priorities. Luke 10, verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard the word. John chapter 12, verse 3 says, then took Mary a pound of ointment, spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Dear God, it like takes my breath away. This woman has probably years worth of value. I don't know what you make in a year, but you put 3 years of your salary in a box and pour it out. Pour it a whole bottle, not just a sprinkle. It's not a dabber, do you? I mean, she took the whole thing. Poured it out on his feet. I can imagine she's emotional. She's probably crying. Oh, she's wiping his feet with her hair. And the aroma of that precious oil, that precious spikenard ointment, still in the whole house. It's everywhere. You know, it's like worship. When you worship the Lord, it's like that precious oil that was poured out on his feet. You got to choose what's important. What's the priority? You're going to choose to worship God when no one else is worshiping God? It was my practice to worship the Lord. Wherever, whatever church service I went to. This is not in my notes, and I'm not going to get to the end of my notes today, but that's okay. When my family, in June of 1997, small kids, teenagers, showed up in Bristol, Connecticut, the church was a great church. Pastor Greeley's pastor there now. My son. But back then, Nathan was 12 years old. You know what I wanted? I wanted my 12-year-old son to see Dad worshiping God. And it don't matter if we're in a revival church where everything is hopping, or we're in a New England kind of not, they weren't real demonstrative in their, the churches were very different. The one in Virginia I came from and the church I came to in Connecticut. Same Jesus, same preaching, same holiness, same United Pentecostal Fellowship. But the worship was very low. You know, I choose to sit right up front, stand on my feet and run and jump and wave my hands and praise the Lord and shout out loud when I'm the only one in the church doing it. I might have been the only one, but then my kids and my wife would join me. And you know, some of those young people, they started worshiping too. And because the young people worshiping, there were some other adults that got to be worshiping too. You know, and it became contagious. You like to worship God, Ben? Yeah? Well, learn to worship God, and He will bless your life. That's a word from God. Sister Brown, I know Sister Brown worships God. Woo! Anybody ever heard that? She's worshiping God. She don't care what you're thinking in the back about the crazy lady up front screaming. She don't care. She's worshiping God. You know what? I'm with you, sis. Whew. I'm with you. You got to get some kind of thing in your spirit that you decide, I am going to worship God. If I'm the only one in this building today, well, then God is going to have one person worshiping Him. And it's going to be me. You got to have a priority. It's a priority for your life. Praise the Lord. Just like, you know, time for spiritual things requires sacrifice. We must establish what the priorities are and then rearrange our schedule to suit those priorities. God comes first. You know, they're talking about being backed up at work. And, you know, we're going to have people work on the weekend. Well, just count me out. The day that you tell me I have to work on Sunday, that's the day I retire. I won't be back on Monday. And I'm not coming in on Sunday. I can tell you that right now. My priority is I'm going to go to church. I'm going to be there in the house of God, no matter what anybody else says. Amen. Haven't worked on a Sunday in the 41 years I've been in the shipyard, and I'm not going to start now. Will not happen. But it's got to be a priority. Mary chose the good part. She wanted to be right up in front. She wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. She wanted to worship him. Unbelievers cannot understand the time and the money that we invest in the kingdom of God. Just like, you know, when you give 10% of your money as a tithe unto the Lord, do you know God blesses the 90% that's left? That you are better off with the blessing of God in 90% than if you had robbed God and kept the whole amount? I'm telling you, God will bless the 90% to be better than the 100% you would have had if you kept it all yourself. That's the same principle is in our worship. You put God first. You don't feel good. You feel kind of dragging, and you don't feel so hot today. You put God first in front of your flesh, and you get up and worship God, even if you don't feel like it. And I guarantee you, by the end of that service and worshiping God, you will feel better than when you came in. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times I've found myself dragging coming to church. And man, I feel energized and all excited by the time I go home. Because I chose to worship God. Amen. 2 minutes and 3 pages to go. What do I say? I've just been going too slow. I hope this is okay. This will help us. This will help you serve the Lord if you will have right priorities. Now Jesus corrected Martha, Luke 10, verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Let me jump right down to the end here. In his presence, we need to reclassify what is and what is not important. And then make the necessary adjustments according to that priority. You don't need to be doing dishes when the presence of God is moving. When the preaching is going on, you just ignore that crying baby. It's none of your business what mom is doing with her child. You focus on what you need to receive from God. It's important. That's a priority. Now, is it bad to have human nature point your view at that mom or that situation happening? It's just not important. It's not important for you at that moment to pay attention to that rather than to be worshiping, be listening to the preacher, be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. The difficulty is in choosing the one thing that is right. I pray that God helps us to choose the right thing at the right time. Amen. When we find the one thing most important in life, the more quickly we enjoy life and develop as a Christian. Choosing anything but the right thing produces frustration and failure. The people who should, well, let me see. I got one more. There was one little part in here I wanted to. Where is it? Unbelievers can't understand the time and the money and the effort that is put into living for God. Why do you go to church on Sunday, go to prayer on Monday, go to midweek service, go to, you know, there's a music practice on Thursday, and there's a work day on Saturday, and then why do you do all those things? Because it's the priorities of the household of God. That's why I do those things. When worship is missing from a person's life, and I'm going to be closing soon, in the next 5 minutes or less. When worship is missing from a person's life, take that for what it's worth. Take that into account in your own life. When worship is missing from a person's life, problems remain. They remain unresolved. Questions remain unanswered. Difficulties remain unresolved. It is often the missing ingredient in marriages which results in marital problems. My worshiping Jesus Christ gives me a better marriage. Makes me a better dad. Makes me a better grandpa. Makes me a better man. Everything about me is better because I choose to worship. Stand with me. Everything. Praise the Lord. Would you lift your hands with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. Jesus, I pray, Lord, even now, these things that I've tried my best to convey, I pray that you would put it in the heart of your people. God, I pray that you would put it in the center of my heart. God, that I would have right priorities. Lord, that I would choose to serve the Lord. That I would choose, Lord, to put you first. Lord, that I would put your kingdom and your glory. God, that your name would be above every other thing in my life. I pray your hand, God, to be upon me. Help me, God, to serve you. I pray your hand upon each of the people that would hear, Lord God, of this message. Lord, that we would have in our own selves right priorities, Lord, to serve you. I'm not talking about going out and sin. I'm talking about Christian priorities. That in the house of the Lord, in our lives, in our homes, in every aspect of our life. Lord, help us to have right priorities. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed.